Good morning. Let's turn to Proverbs 28. We'll read verse 13. And let's read verse 14 as well. Proverbs 28:13-14. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is a man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Just pray that as we come together to pray, to hear your word, to worship, Father, that we have an encounter with you. Open our hearts to hear what you have to say today, God. And may our spirits rise up to respond to the move of the Spirit today, God. We thank you. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a story, a little episode I had at around 11:15 last night. I was prepping for EMP, and I had like absolutely nothing. I even looked into my old sermons that I gave at SPU. I felt really guilty doing that. I'm like, God, I'm not sure if I should be doing this. And I think God was saying, your feeling is correct. I'm like, all right, let me go grab a glass of water, and let me come back, and maybe I can fashion something out of a few sermons that I've done before and piece something together. So as I was about to go out, Cora goes, check for cockroaches. And the reason why she said that is because for the past week or two, we've been having issues with cockroaches. Yeah, I know. No, yeah. So we'll go in the middle of the night and we'll just turn on the light and we're like, oh, there's one, right? And oh, there's another one. And so every night it's been like, we can find one or maybe two. And we're like, okay, you know, maybe it's because the weather got cool and it got a little warmer all of a sudden. There's sudden temperature changes. I don't know, affected their biology and they multiplied like rapidly. But Cora always goes, we have an infestation. We have an infestation. I'm like, it's just one. Relax. Maybe they're coming from the outside or whatever. She's like, no, we have an infestation. I'm like, no. We'll just kill this. Don't worry. And so last night, took it to a whole nother level. I turn on the lights and in our dining room, and I saw one on our piano. I'm like, oh, I got you. But I missed it. So like it crawled under, and then it was under the piano. I almost got it, and then it crawled to the back, so I had to move the piano. And I was looking, I'm like, is that another one? And then, all right, let me go get a glass of water. So I went to the kitchen and turned on the light. I'm like, oh my gosh. There are three. There's like one on the stove, one on a water glass, one on the floor. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is disgusting. So by the time we finished killing all the cockroaches and like looking for them, and that took quite a while. So I went back into my room, and then Cora was just wiping up. And I was like, oh, this is a perfect sermon illustration. Let me write this down and try to find some verse that will fit this. And then, as I was like starting to type, Cora goes, Andrew, come back. I'm like, what's going on? And so because we had to move the piano and everything and to check behind the wall, like not behind the walls, but behind the piano, check the wall and the ground. We had to move a lot of her furniture, and we had taken our piano bench out, and she had turned it over, and she's like, there's two more. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Maybe we have an infestation, or maybe we just haven't dealt with, you know, the ones that were already there, and, you know, maybe everything's okay. So I look, I don't see the two that she's talking about, but I see three others under. I know this story is amazing for EMP. I find three others, and like one is this tiny little thing, so we're like spraying it, and then as I'm spraying, another jumps out from the piano bench. I'm like, what the heck? So all said and done, I think we got around 15 last night. I know, this isn't like the more you get, the better it is. It's not a good high score. But so we killed quite a bit of cockroaches last night. Now, I'm
sure you didn't come here just to hear me talk about cockroaches and my issues with them. So it says in Galatians 5, Paul is describing what it's like to walk in the Spirit and what it means to walk by the Spirit. And when we do so, we allow the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. But also in Galatians 5, Paul discusses what it means to do the opposite of that. That means to walk in opposition of the Spirit. And he says, "But I say to you," in verse 16, "walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh," meaning sin. We won't carry out the manifestations of sin. And we see some of these examples that Paul lists. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." So two things to pay attention to this particular verse 19. It says, "Now the deeds of the flesh." Okay, the deeds of the flesh. This is different from desires of the flesh. The desire is what's in our heart, and the deeds are what comes out of that desire, or the actions that manifest from our desire. So the originator is the desire, not the deeds. Okay. Second thing to pay attention to this phrase is the word evident. We can see the evidence of our sin through things like impurity, any kind of impurity, whether you're thinking bad about a person, you're sexual impurity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, etc., etc. And it may seem like Paul is saying that these things, or saying that those that exhibit such behaviors will not inherit the kingdom of God. As he says in the latter part of verse 21, "Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So, I mean, at a very surface level of reading this, you can draw the conclusion that if we stop these behaviors, if we don't do them, then we're in the clear, right? But as a very well-taught and well-read church, and coming out to EMP, you guys know that, you know, this is not what Paul is really saying. He's not saying, let's just deal with the outward manifestations of our sin. Let's just not do these things and, you know, really white-knuckle through those times where we really feel angry and we, you know, we're saying, like, if only, you know, there's no one else around and I say this to this person, or if only I was doing this, like, I would totally give them a piece of my mind. Or, but Paul is really wanting us to go deeper. See, just like how I was in denial that we had an infestation of cockroaches in our place, I fully do admit now that we have an infestation of cockroaches at our home, and we have to find some way to deal with it. But just like I was in denial about that, we don't, a lot of the times in our lives, we don't ever get to the root of our sin. We have all these outward manifestations or things that appear in our lives, anger, pride, jealousy. I mean, it doesn't even have to be big sins, right? Even that one time that you gossip, that is a manifestation of a deeper sin that you have, right? Just that one time. And it goes to speak to the depth and the gravity and the seriousness of that sin. See, the deeds of the flesh are evident, are visible, but that root of that sin is really deep down, and we really don't get to it a lot of the times. It's not something that we really touch on when we deal with, you know, not doing certain things, because we don't want to think about the larger issue. But we know, you know, in many parts of the Bible, Matthew 5, for example, we know that our outward action reflects what's actually going on inside our hearts. And that is the important thing. See, Paul clarifies in verse 24, Galatians 5:24, what he actually means. He goes, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." He's dealing with the passions and desires, not the deeds of the flesh, not the outward acts. It is something that goes way deeper. Right? So as if killing 15 cockroaches wasn't bad enough last night, you know what the worst thing was about last night? We found three execs. Yeah, I know. I was actually looking to see, are there any more cockroaches? Because we had the piano turned on the side so we could get better access. Like, a lot of our furniture was upside down. We checked Jared's baby chair. I'm like, are they here? And we're checking every nook and cranny. And we're like, what's that little circle thing? Right? We're like, is it another cockroach? And we're like trying to spray it. By the way, the spray doesn't spray upside down so well. So that's why we had to turn the piano. And I'm like, what is that? And we find three little egg sacs. It was really gross. And as I was thinking about it, you know, it took a long time to find those egg sacs. Like, to actually look at it closely took a lot of effort because we had to move a lot of furniture. And when we finally found it, I realized, man, that is what it's like with our sin. It takes a lot of time and effort to actually look past what the manifestations are and to really examine and to investigate what's going on. And sometimes we're too proud to admit that we have issues, right? Or even if we admit that we have some sort of issue, right? I have a little bit of a problem. Or I deal with this every so often. We're in denial about how deep the issue goes. You look at addicts. Addicts will never admit that they're addicts. That's why we call them addicts. He's like, you have a problem. No, I don't. I just have a little bit of an issue. Right? It's only when we can admit that we have a problem that we can start dealing with these issues. When we exhibit the deeds of the flesh, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what is the deeper root that, you know, God is asking us to deal with? Because he brings up these issues within us so that we can deal with them. Right? I do believe last night was God's way of waking me up to listen to my wife when she says we have an infestation. So I fully now admit that we have an infestation. And because I can admit this, you know, because last night in the process of, you know, killing that seventh cockroach, I was like, maybe we do have a bigger problem than just the odd occasional cockroach. That's when we're like, okay, let's go through every single nook and cranny that we can to see if maybe there's something more than just one or two. Maybe there's a reason why these cockroaches keep coming back. And so the question for us is, you know, do we spend the time to really deal with the issues? Like, if we exhibit anger, even just one time, are we like, okay, you know, let me pray, let me ask for forgiveness, and we're good. We're good, right, God? Okay, cool. And you go along your day. Or do you take the time to meditate and then ask yourself, where does that anger come from? Is there something deeper? And it's not that, you know, you're rotten to the core. Because a lot of the sins that come in our lives result because of some sort of hurt that you have, right? And we're trying to compensate or, I don't know, make up for it. One example that I was trying to think of is just really my need to be validated. And I think a lot of the times the way that comes out is just through pride. You can really ask my wife and she'll tell you lots of stories of how we have arguments because I'm just not willing to let go, or I need to feel validated, or I need to be right. And that comes from that area of pride, but the more I think about it, and I've been realizing this more and more, it really goes back to when I was young and I didn't feel like I was valued unless I was able to prove myself. And that realization really helps me understand that, you know, I don't need to prove myself, right? That even though I felt like at the time I was only valued if I was able to prove myself or to show good grades or do the right thing, that's not necessarily what was happening. My parents were trying to, you know, when they were disciplining me or getting me to do the right thing, they're trying to make me a better person, right? And I mean, it's just me not really understanding, and also them not communicating that well. And you know, it's not me. I'm not trying to blame them, but I'm just saying a lot of that came from when I was young. A lot of that is just it's just really hurt. It's not because I'm, well, yeah, because I am sinful, right? But most of that stems from just being hurt, right? And God really wants to show you that, and He's given you all these opportunities and all these things that pop up in your life that He says, look, there's something I want you to deal with. It takes, for me at least, I'm sure, you know, maybe some of you can identify, it takes an abundance of occurrences for, you know, whatever issue it is, abundance of occurrences to pop up before we actually realize, hey, something's actually going on. I mean, I shared earlier, a few months ago, I forget when it was, but I mean, I shared earlier about like my issues with anger. And it wasn't only until I realized one time when I was getting really angry, I'm like, man, this feels really good. And I'm like, oh, I think I have an issue with anger. And I thought, and I started thinking back the times I got angry. I'm like, yeah, I felt really good. It was like some kind of high. And it's as if the Darth Lord Sidious was behind me saying, yes, let the hate flow through you. But Cora was asking me about Star Wars last night, so. But yeah, you know, it was only then that I realized, yeah, I do have issues with anger. It's like, man, I enjoy this more. Actually, I mean, yeah, I enjoy this more than I really need to, if I should be enjoying it at all. See, God isn't interested in changing the way we act. He doesn't want me just to stop being angry. Like, oh, Andrew, don't ask that question, or don't say that thing that proves that you know more. Right? He's not, he wants you to change your behavior, but He's more interested in our inner transformation. See, He's interested not in dealing with a symptom as much as what causes the symptom. He wants to get to the root of that sin. And sometimes it's not easy. My illustration last night, I think by the time I actually was able to start writing is about 12:05. So we spent a good, almost an hour trying to deal with all the cockroaches and finding the egg. And I know I see some of you going like, oh, this is so gross. It is. There's actually one egg sac. Let me go a little bit more since I have more time. There's one egg sac that was lodged in between this crack of our piano. And the first two, it was easy enough to kind of like, I don't know, use a toothpick to kind of flick off. But at the same time, Cora was saying, like, don't break the egg sac. I'm like, I know. I don't want like 9 other cockroaches. I don't know, how many? 24. I don't want 24 other cockroaches. Thank you. But there's this one that was wedged in so tight. And I was like trying to get leverage and kind of trying to poke at it without breaking it. And like, maybe if I move it a little bit, then we can start moving a little bit more. But as I kind of was, it's almost as if it was a lever, and then I finally gave it one tiny, it was so tiny, tiny little push, but because there's so much, I don't know, potential energy stored up, that when I pushed it, it like flicked out into Cora's direction. She's like, oh my gosh, it's the egg sac. We're like, where did the egg sac go? We're like, oh man. But we ended up finding it. But my point is, you know, getting to the root of the sin, right? The root of that sin of all those cockroaches, it's not easy. We had our furniture turn around. There's Raid spray everywhere. We had to wipe everything up. It gets messy. It takes time, right? But if we're committed to it, right, if we really allow God, if we really allow Jesus to take over that process, we can get to it. And there is hope. You know, I am hopeful in saying, I hope we dealt with all the cockroaches. I don't know. We have to check our kitchen for more egg sacs. But I mean, that God is more interested in healing our core, the root of what is going on. That's when in Mark 2, when Jesus heals the lame man, He doesn't say get up and like He says in the text. You know, it's much easier to say that your sins are forgiven, right? He doesn't tell the man to get up and walk. He says, your sins are forgiven. And a lot of the times that Jesus heals, he's trying to get more at the deeper root cause as opposed to, all right, let me just heal you and you'll be fine. But he heals them at the core. If you change someone at the core, all their behaviors will change as well. If you change someone's principles, then they're going to do everything according to those principles as opposed to, all right, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to talk to this person nicely. But with this person, you know, maybe not so much. But if we're able to understand, like, oh, we're supposed to treat everybody nicely, you know, just as an example, then that behavior automatically changes. So, as we pray today, as Pastor Ricky comes up for worship, let's ask God first to remove the idea of cockroaches from our head. And as we, let's just focus in on his presence right now. And ask God, you know, are there areas of your life where, or to, for him to reveal areas of your life where you keep experiencing the same sorts of issues? Just ask him to help you see, you know, whether it's in different areas of your life with different people. Help him, ask him, Lord, help me see where I'm manifesting the same issues, that same sin. And as he does that, just ask him, Jesus, help me deal with this. Heal me at the core and not just my outward actions.
For your hand of mercy to hear me. I am new. I need your love to free me. Oh Lord, my rock, my strength in weakness, come rescue me. Oh Lord, you are my hope, your promise never fails me, and my desire is to follow you forever. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. For you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me.
Yes, God, you are so good to us. You have so much compassion on us that, like it says in Proverbs, he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. You're not in the business of just telling us what we did wrong and disciplining us just because, but because you want us to be better, because you want us to be free, and you have so much compassion on us, and you are so gracious to receive us when we come back to you, when we say that there are things that we cannot do ourselves. And you are so good, you have so much mercy on us that you want to deal with the root cause, the core sins, and not just our behaviors. So we thank you, God. We pray, Lord, that give us a soft heart, Lord, an open heart to see, God, where our faults are, and to really come and bring them to you, to lay down what it is that troubles us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us so that we can have this ability to come to you, Lord. Father, help us see in our lives, God, just things that are not pleasing to you, and things that you want us to, that you are removing from our lives, God. Give us that patience, God, that perseverance to continue after that healing, to continue after that, to pursue that restoration at all costs, Lord, recognizing that there is sin in our lives and that we are better off without it. So we thank you, Father. Turning to our community prayer and focus, let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries to deal with this. Let's also pray for those who are sick and have yet to receive Jesus into their lives. Pray for those that are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing and just for them to continue praying. Just praying for healing and to not ask, but to declare healing in their lives. Let's pray for our sisters that are looking for jobs. Let's pray for Leanne and Tammy. Let's pray for God to open doors for them to have the wisdom, discernment, just to filter out opportunities and to, you know, even look in places where they might not think, to just rely on God to lead them in this process. Our mission focus, pray for Japan and Pastor Sophia, who's there right now. Let's pray for God's covering over her. Let's also pray for SPU New York, Pastor Chris and Amy, the burgeoning church community. Let's pray for just God to continue moving in that city. And let's also pray for Grace in Cambodia, as well as Oasis House, led by Pastor Jenny Oh. Let's pray for God to be over their ministry. Let's lift up the Missions Council, Pastor Ricky, Deb, Janella, Janice, John, Chungmin, and Tim. Let's pray for God's wisdom over them as they just handle the missions for the missions opportunity for the church. Let's pray that more, in addition to them, that the church really just comes around them to support the opportunities and projects that they have. Pray for local outreach, the various ministries, Igape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that in this ministry that the people of Hong Kong are so touched and that our teams are able to just help bring God's transformation into the lives of the people they're reaching out to. Let's pray for SBFAM, the foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Just ask God to continue to build this ministry and to really utilize the entire church, all our families, even the house church family, to support this ministry in whatever way that we can. Pray for Friday night gatherings for college group as well as intercessory prayer. Let's pray that they have a powerful time with God and just a good time with community. Let's pray for them. Pray for the house churches tonight, Elements, McCain, MacDaddy, McRobinson, Tavistock. Pray for them as they just discuss a sermon, that they have a good time, and that they're able just to draw closer to each other and to God during this their house church tonight. And finally, let's pray for the Yahweh retreat that is going on tonight and over the course of this weekend. Let's pray that everyone going comes with an open heart and that God helps them put away all distractions, and they're just really there to encounter God and to have an experience with Him and to be radically changed by God. And just pray for that. Pray for their safety. Pray for Pastor Sam. He's speaking at the Yahweh retreat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for just constantly revealing to us, God, that there are areas in our life that are not the most pleasing to you, God. And you're not. We just thank you for your grace, God, that you are calling us to something better and that you are walking with us, God, as we are sanctified, God. We thank you for your work, God, and that you are the one that changes us, that you are the one that really affects this transformation in us, God. And so, Lord, I just pray for all of us, God, that we approach every day with open hearts, God, to see, Lord, how you are moving in our lives, God, to see how you are calling us to be holy just like you are holy, Father. So we thank you. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.